Thank you for listening to the Jason Greger Show podcast, brought to you by Lakewood Chev. If you're looking for a better pre-owned buying experience, Lakewood Chev has certified pre-owned vehicles that are fully inspected, warrantied by General Motors, and have a 30-day exchange privilege. It's Lakewood Chev.
You look at, and I know you weren't enamored by Slepyshev's game, more so in the defensive zone at the blue line, right, last game. So, you know, offensively, actually had that spinorama, you know, tried some things. Are you surprised they didn't make any moves there? And what do you make of having Jujhar Khaira here this long when he's not playing very much? Wouldn't it be better served to have 14 forwards and have him playing regularly in the AHL?
Yes. I'm a little bit confused about what the game plan is with Khaira. I'm a little bit confused about that. Now, he's not going to be complaining. Sometimes you want to, I mean, every day in the NHL is a great day for these guys, right?
Oh, yeah,
and they make 10 times the money, you know, playing for the big team. So a month and a half long look in the NHL, whether you play three games or you play 15, can be several hundred grand in the bank and get you through the next 2 years of, you know, if you don't get back there. So, I mean, I think we should be careful about feeling too sorry for Jujhar Khaira. I think, like I say, every day in the NHL is a great day. And sometimes, you know, guys get to an age where it's really good for them to earn that kind of money to help them continue to be a pro hockey player. So it's been a good run for him. Now, from a development standpoint, it's not ideal to be here this long and not playing that many games. So yeah, I would agree with that. Not ideal. So a little bit confusing when you look at development of the player, but I don't feel too bad for him. And I'm sure he's not sulking because it's a pretty significant, a pretty significant uptick in a pro player's life to be able to spend two NHL months.
No, I understand the financial, but to me, so let's say he spends 2 months here, but because he hasn't played, now do other guys pass him the organizational depth chart? Does it hurt him long-term? To me, when I just look at, if I'm the Oilers, and I'm not, well, hey, Jujhar, we got to pad your wallet. We'll pad your wallet by playing you every night in the AHL, because then you can play every night in the NHL next year, right?
Right.
I'm not sure it's helping him develop, because he's still a really young player.
I'm not saying that's why they're doing it. I'm saying it's why I don't know how upset he would be about the situation. I think for those players, every day in the NHL is a wonderful day. And I think he has enough experience in the American Hockey League that he knows what that league is about. It's not like he's going to get lost. So it's just been a nice long NHL tenure for him. Ideally, I'm sure he would have liked to have gotten into some more games. So I'm not saying that the Oilers are doing it to pad his wallet. I'm saying it's why he's probably not too upset about it himself. But I agree with you. I mean, you don't want guys in the organization to pass you by. So you're playing one out of every 10 games. Meanwhile, somebody's lighting it up in the AHL. But I don't see anybody lighting it up in the AHL that he needs to worry about. I mean, Anton Lander, if he were going to be here, he'd be here. I mean, I think Khaira is here because they feel like he's close. But I am surprised that he hasn't gotten more opportunity. I am surprised they're going back to Slepyshev tonight. And that to me is a little bit confusing, because I didn't think he was very good. I thought he was unreliable. And I think that this head coach is looking for reliability and time to give somebody else a chance.
Ben and Greiba are likely going to rotate. There's definitely differences between the two. But matchups tonight, now as we get closer, Ryan, I'm curious to watch how Todd McClellan functions. He hasn't been a guy who's went out of his way at times for matchups during the season. He wanted to get guys playing. But tonight, Saturday, and then, of course, into the postseason, I'm curious how much more we'll see from him in line matchups, because you know that the San Jose Sharks, they like to get Vlasic out against McDavid as much as he can. And McDavid's obviously leading the league, so I don't think he shies away from it. But I'm curious if in certain situations McClellan might, you know, double shift or do a little bit more playing around with that line.
Yeah, well, out of commercial breaks is where I find, maybe I'm kind of overthinking it, or it's not this simple. But I don't know. I would want Connor McDavid on the ice out of every single commercial break, regardless of who the other team has available and can put on the ice. If he's been sitting there and your entire bench is fresh, you might as well throw him out there. Now, especially on the road when you can't control the matchup anyway. Now, they have a game plan. They have a matchup plan. So it doesn't always work that way. And it's McClellan's responsibility to keep an entire bench engaged in the game. So easy to say. But I do find there's opportunities where, you know, maybe McDavid hasn't been on the ice for a minute or two before the commercial. Then the commercial hits and he's not out there to start, where, you know, you're wondering why he wasn't out there. There was one time against the Kings where he didn't have a shift for, I think it was two shifts before the commercial break. And then out of the break, the Kings didn't have Doughty on the ice and McClellan didn't put him out there. Connor's playing lots of minutes here. He can't play it for 60 minutes. I'm kind of splitting hairs. But I think that where Vlasic is concerned, I don't think McClellan needs to be too much about it. Connor's got 4 points in the three games. He's had two multi-point games. Vlasic and Braun have played most 5-on-5 minutes against him on that team. And I think he's handled that matchup just fine. So I don't think he needs to go out of his way where San Jose's concerned to worry about it. Now, Kessler is a little bit of a different story to me. That's Ryan Kessler's done a pretty good job on McDavid. Hasn't proved against that team. And that is maybe a matchup to try and get him away from.
We're going to try to reconnect with Sagar. He's, I don't know if he's in the basement on the bat phone, but it's clearly not. That's cutting into much, out too much. So we'll try to get that sorted out momentarily and get him back. The Oilers and the matchups, I think it's the game within the game now. And everybody pays closer attention to every play. As Ray Ferraro said yesterday, you know, when you get in the playoffs, every shift matters more. It just does, right? And I think now with six games to go, first place on the line, small little things that people will pay more attention to tonight. It's specific. The Oilers' penalty kill has suddenly gotten a lot better. Right, they were brutal from January till March 7th, 73%. Now, you can tell me, oh, it was just unlucky bounces. Give me a break. I'm sorry, it wasn't just unlucky. The Oilers, they weren't in sync. Right? Letestu talked about it. Guys were just a little bit off, and it's only a split second off, but their penalty kill has gotten a lot better the last 10 games. They're in sync with one another, which allows them to be more aggressive. When one guy goes, there's no hesitation because everybody's going with him. And addition of Pouliot back in the lineup after his injury has helped because his reach and his skating speed help on the penalty kill, and it's allowed some other guys to have a few less shifts now and then on the penalty kill, so they're fresher as Rashog returns with us. And, you know, the thing about Pouliot, and he was playing brutal all year long, but, you know, his last few weeks, Pouliot's looked like the player of the last few seasons.
Right. Sorry about the bad connection there. I'm not sure what happened. I got full bars, but...
No problem.
Well, when we talked about Pouliot earlier this season and when he was going through those struggles, one of the things that I maintained through most of it was I really feel like this will be a valuable player come the stretch run in playoffs. As bad as he was, this is not, and nor has it at any point been a situation where you're looking at a guy going, he might not be able to play anymore. He might be finished. He just, you know, it's passed him by. And we've said that about other guys in the past, right? Other guy, whether it's Mike Richards or whether it's some of these guys that have been around a while that the game passes by. Pouliot can skate as well as just about anybody, and his skills are still there. The game has not passed him by. And now they're coming in handy at an important time of year where he has some experience at this time of year. He has some experience in the playoffs. I always felt that he would be a valuable player for them if he could just get his confidence in order, and now that's come to fruition.
Well, yeah, he's back playing with confidence for sure. Now, the San Jose Sharks, we talked to Brett Hedekin earlier today, and, you know, really good analyst. I like his viewpoint on the game. And, you know, we talked about the Sharks who have really been leaking defensively. Like, they've allowed 27 goals in their last seven games, Ryan. And even though they won, that includes the 5-4 in overtime, right? Like, this was a team that early on was excellent defensively, and their secondary scoring has really dried up. Brent Burns, of course, went 16 games without a goal for them, which was big, but, you know, defensemen scoring as much as he do is rare. But their secondary scoring, and so that's why that third line of the Oilers tonight, and even the Nugent Hopkins line, depending on matchups, to me, that's where tonight's game should be won and arguably into the playoffs. And it's got to start now. Like, you know the top line's going, but – The third line, I guess technically they scored but had it called off to a bad call by the officials. But that's a line for me, Ryan. The more I watch the Oilers, that could be the difference maker line sometimes in the playoffs.
Do you think, are you convinced entirely that Desharnais will be able to bring it at a high enough level in the playoffs? Like, have you seen enough of him now to go, yup, they're going to be able to rely on him when things ramp up in the postseason? I mean, the other two are great skaters, and they're going to be, to me, they're going to be able to elevate as things ramp up a little bit. Desharnais, it'll be interesting to me to see if he can keep his level high enough to maintain his spot on that third line and be effective enough. I think he's probably going to be able to do it, but I'm not 100% convinced yet that there's enough left in his legs and his skating to be able to keep up at that pace. I like he's a good playmaker. He makes smart plays with the puck. He's an intelligent player. But it'll be interesting to see as the pace picks up if he can ramp it up a little bit more to keep up with those guys. It's an important line for them, for sure it is. I don't know. I feel like the Oilers match up better against the Sharks than they do against the Ducks, which they've had success against the Ducks this year. But I feel like they match up better as a group against San Jose than Anaheim. Am I crazy in thinking that?
It's an interesting one because I actually think it's the Ducks, because I think defense is harder to break down in the playoffs, and San Jose's top four defense in my books is better than Anaheim's.
The issue for me is if they go Kessler against McDavid, which they do, and Kessler's done a good job against McDavid. Like, generally speaking, he's done a pretty good job against him.
Yeah, but the funny thing is Draisaitl has and he's played every game but one. And I think Draisaitl has like four goals in the last four games against the Ducks.
Yeah, for sure. But being able to play McDavid the way that Kessler has, I mean, it means something. But the greater point is it leaves Nugent Hopkins dealing with Getzlaff.
Yeah, that's fair.
And that line. And that's an issue. I think the Oilers would love it if they would play Getzlaff against McDavid and have Kessler for Nugent Hopkins. But because they use Kessler against McDavid, and he's tailor-made for that role, it's a tough matchup when you get through to the layer two or the second line. And for that reason, I can't help but feel like it's a better matchup for the Oilers in San Jose. Now, maybe I'm crazy. I mean, San Jose is a good team. They went to the Cup Final. They've got some really high-end good players. I wonder if you dump some truth serum into Todd McClellan, never mind his history in San Jose, and said, who do you think you match up better against, what he would actually say. We'll never get the answer from him, but it'd be interesting to hear. I do have a hunch it's San Jose.
Well, it might be. And hey, you go against a team that made it all the way to the Western Final last year. It'd be a huge test, no doubt, for the Oilers. But hey, the Oilers, if they can find a way to win both of these games, then first place is definitely not out of the realm of possibilities. And then you're looking at Calgary or one of Nashville or St. Louis, right?
Yeah, I think Calgary would be a good matchup for them, too. I mean, I think it would be, from a selfish standpoint, I mean, it'd be a fantastic series to watch. Reignite the Battle of Alberta. Be a way easier series to cover than just traveling back and forth, which, you know, as media, that's very relevant in our world. The tough travel series are, I mean, come on, that's a major pain. So for a number of reasons, I think it'd be great to see Edmonton, Calgary, and I think they're also probably the best matchup for the Oilers too.
Yeah, I think so too. I don't see Calgary's top four as good as San Jose, and I definitely don't see a line like Kessler in Calgary. Backlund's good, but he's not Kessler.
Yeah, and they're relying on some young guys that haven't really had a chance to do it yet either. You know, they rely heavily on guys that don't have a lot of experience. So that's, you know, the Oilers have some very, very experienced veteran players who have been through these battles before and play pretty high up in their lineup.
Shogger, we'll see you at the rink tonight. Should be a good one. Appreciate it.
All right, buddy. Sounds good.